Junior Power. This is Lynn McGregor.
And this is David Neely. And this next half hour of Senior Power will be filled with information and entertainment for
mature audiences only.
Lynn, we start the show with Senator Collins on speaking about Alzheimer's. And just recently, the FDA has approved a first Alzheimer's drug. I think people will have to research that to find out more in particular about it, but this just came out. So it's very timely that Senator Collins will be speaking to us about Alzheimer's. But as you know, we've had several segments on with Senator Collins and other guests like Noel Paul Stuckey. And where would people go to find some of the past podcasts?
You would actually go to seniorpower.me.
Now, what was that again?
Seniorpower.me.
And there we have all our podcasts hosted so that you can hear some of the past shows with a variety of segments from all of our guests. And now we go to Senator Collins.
Thank you so much, David. It's great to join you. I'm just delighted that you focus so much on the seniors in our state.
Senator Collins, could you please speak to us about your involvement in the United States Senate with Alzheimer's?
Absolutely. In 1999, I founded the Congressional Alzheimer's Task Force in the Senate, and I did so because I was aware of the number of people in our state and in our country who were living with Alzheimer's, and also the enormous difficulties that it often created for the family members and other caregivers. It also is our nation's most expensive disease, costing our nation an astonishing $355 billion a year. And it's something that's really important to me personally. I lost my father, my grandfather, two of my uncles, and some cousins all to Alzheimer's disease. So I know firsthand the pain of looking into the eyes of your loved one and wondering whether or not he or she recognizes you. It's a really difficult disease for not only the patient, but also for the family members. I've often thought of how heroic my own mother was. She took care of my father for about 8 years, perhaps even longer, at home, and it was only in the last year of his life that he went into the veterans home in Caribou. But she was just amazing in taking care of him and keeping him at home for as long as she possibly could, with helps from my brothers and their wives who live in Caribou. But so this is personal as well as professional to me. What I have done is worked really hard with a bipartisan coalition to increase more funding for Alzheimer's research. And like most recently, we secured $3.1 billion. That's an increase over $300 million compared to the previous year. And that will help support the kinds of basic research into plaque, into the brain, into tau tangles that scientists think is related to Alzheimer's. There's also more work being done on lifestyle factors to see what role they play. That's an intriguing area. Acadia Hospital in Bangor is doing some interesting research, as is Jackson Lab in Bar Harbor. And I've visited research labs at Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania and at the Mayo Clinic as well. Most recently, a law that I authored called the Bold Act, which was signed into law in 2018, creates a public health approach to combat Alzheimer's by promoting earlier diagnosis. There's a lot of intriguing clinical trials going on. There have been many, regrettably, that have failed, but there's some intriguing ones that suggest that if medication is taken early on in Alzheimer's, that it may be effective in stopping the progression of the disease. And that is very intriguing. So some of these drugs that were deemed failures are now being tried on populations where individuals still have a lot of cognitive ability and their Alzheimer's is not advanced, and they're showing some signs of progress there. I've also authored a bill to help caregivers. I noted when my father was ill that it was so difficult to find assistance like respite programs, another area where I've been active, where the caregiver, the spouse, for example, could drop off the loved one for a program. And I know the Bangor Y is pursuing that. And that is such a help. If you can give a break to the caregiver, it can make all the difference in the world. And I know your mother has written an article about the impact of music on people with Alzheimer's. And this is something I have a personal interest in as well, because when my father at Christmas time would hear the Christmas carols being played around the table, around the piano rather, he would stand up and he would sing all of the words. And he might not have been able to converse with you easily at that point, but music could still reach him. And I know that that was your mother's experience as well with her stepfather. And I think this is incredibly intriguing. And we always tried to make sure that we had a lot of music playing for my father during his illness.
And it is, as you say, not only therapeutic, but there is something to memory and music, which I'm not sure they've really, you know, diagnosed in such a way that they may have ways to, you know, sort of help the whole Alzheimer's mental acuity in other areas. But nonetheless, that should be somewhat instructive to the fact that there's something still going on there, enough so that if they can figure out what that connection is, possibly maybe they can help with other aspects of one's memory.
That's absolutely correct. And when I was very young, I remember that older people who undoubtedly had Alzheimer's disease were referred to as being senile, and that it was thought to be a natural part of the aging process. Well, we've since learned that it is not, and that that it's a disease, and that it is visible when you do imaging of the brain. And that was what I learned at the Mayo Clinic, which has really led the way in imaging of the brain. You can see the plaque that has developed and the tangles that are evident with advanced imaging. And an autopsy used to be the only way that you could definitively diagnose Alzheimer's, even though it was pretty evident. So we've learned a lot from the days when we thought that this was a natural part of aging, And we've learned that it is not, that it is an illness. And we have to figure out an awful lot more about it. And that's why that basic research is so important, because there's still an awful lot that we don't know. One of the theories that I am really interested in is that Alzheimer's disease may be related to inflammation in the brain. And so if we can figure out triggers for inflammation in the brain, that may be another part of unlocking the puzzle. In the end, my own view, after talking to many physicians and scientists about Alzheimer's, is that we're going to find that there are a number of factors at play. That yes, the plaque is part of it, the sticky plaque in the brain, the tau, which interferes with the connection between neurons. And by the way, that's one reason why the late application of medicine has not been effective, is that if the neuron is already destroyed, then it's very difficult to restore function. And I think we'll find that inflammation as well is part of it, and that lifestyle factors do also enter in, as they do with so many diseases. So in the end, I would guess that we'll end up with some sort of cocktail of medicines that will prove to be the remedy to at least slow the progression, and I hope someday lead to a cure or a means of prevention.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Collins. We appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
And welcome, Gary Crocker.
Listen. Let's share a Down East moment. Two 90-year-old women were out for a walk one day, and Bessie says to Helen, "Did you hear that Lois passed away?" "Why, no, I had not heard." "Well, she did, and her funeral's on Friday. Will you be going?" "No, I won't. If she's not going to go to my funeral, I'm not going to go to hers." Another Down East moment. Is the beach far from town? Well, it seems further than it is, but you'll find out it ain't.
And now we have Tracy Dowlin with the Senior Planning Center on. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
And you are lucky, because I think I'm right when I say you're lodged in the foothills of Western Maine. And on our
Very lucky.
Yes, well, on our Retire in Maine website, where the seniorpower.me radio page is, we have a video that's an aerial of the state of Maine. And even though the aerial of Maine was supposed to be mostly small towns and coastal Maine, they had to start in Rumford, because at peak foliage and where the beautiful falls are there, Rumford is about as quaint and beautiful looking town in the state of Maine during peak foliage is any place. And of course, you know that, and that's probably why you live in the area.
Yes, born and raised in the area.
Oh, you were. And so now I need to know, what got you involved in working with seniors?
Actually, Brad Dyer talked to me, and I basically love helping people and seniors. I feel there's a need in our area, especially, for a place for seniors to go to get help. We are an insurance agent, but we do a lot of things that don't involve insurance, helping people finding homes in the area, helping people get it in with the Medicare buy-in, which is part of Maine Care in the state of Maine. Just in general, helping people. That's what made me fall in love with the Senior Planning Center, and I absolutely love the backing that I get from the Senior Planning Center.
So you've worked with the Senior Planning Center as an agent and somehow turned this into your long-term career profession by making the Senior Planning Center in Rumford your store, your location. Now you have some help there as well, and you bring folks in, and as you suggested, whether it's helping them with the Medicare Savings Program or just being a resource for all things senior related, you've established a pretty good funnel of business in that area. Can you sort of walk us through the number one thing you're finding that is of great value and benefit to seniors that show up to the Senior Planning Center in Rumford?
Honestly, I think it's that a lot of people are unaware just how high the guidelines are for the buy-in. People come in proud and don't need, you know, don't want any type of assistance, but you know, these people definitely qualify for some extra help, and it might not be getting all of your medical bills paid, but just getting some assistance in your prescriptions. Prescriptions alone are very high for seniors, and being on the Medicare buy-in, the savings program, their prescriptions go down tremendously.
Give us an example of somebody that comes in that, and I understand, I mean, I think it's a main rugged individualism type of an attitude of not thinking that they should get help through the Medicare Savings Program, and yet we both know that it's something that, in effect, everybody pays into, you know, and this is a payroll tax that comes out of all of us as we work over the years, and so that when you do get in there and find out, oh, geez, actually I qualify for some assistance with Medicare Savings Program, what kind of monthly cost savings can there be for some of those folks?
Well, I have a really good example of somebody who came in recently, who was a husband and wife locally, kind of the outskirts of the River Valley, but they mainly came in for help saying that they needed firewood. Now, we don't help with firewood, but I kind of did a little bit of fact-finding, and I found out that they were paying just over $600 a month for their Medicare supplement and their standalone prescription drug plan. We were able to direct them to Seniors Plus, who does HEAT. But for the short term, what I could do was we went over the guidelines for the Medicare Savings Program. We have staff that helps get people qualified so they don't have to deal with DHHS at all. They actually got qualified for QIMBY, which stands for Qualified Medicare Beneficiary. A lot of people have astigmatism that because they have a Maine Care ID number, that they're on full Maine Care. That is an estate recovery program, but the Medicare buy-in is not. We want to, we work all of our lives for our homes, and we definitely don't want to have our homes taken for medical benefits that we're going to use. So this couple ended up qualifying for QIMBY, so we were able to save them the monthly premium that they were putting out. Plus, their prescriptions were very, very low after they were on the program. And actually, the insurance I was able to write this gentleman with, he was able to have his teeth pulled and get a full set of dentures. So he left very happy. It's just one example.
And roughly, what was the monthly savings for them?
I don't have it calculated out for their prescription, their costs on their prescriptions, but one of them was diabetic, so over $9 is what a prescription would cost on the savings program. But the monthly premium that we saved them was $600, so it's higher than that once you add in all the co-pays on the prescriptions that they were paying.
Wait a second then. You saved them about $7,200 a year?
Yes. So it's so gratifying to be able to help people like that.
Well, Tracy, it's no doubt in my mind as to why you are one of the stars of the Senior Planning Center, and you really help define our slogan on a daily basis, which is help when it matters most. Tracy, thank you so much for being on Senior Power.
Thank thank you for having me.
We welcome Carrie Kish for some great day hikes in the state of Maine.
Some of those hikes can be fairly rugged. Even going up over Beehive can be fairly rugged.
Well, you make a good point. You know, those we call them ladder trails. You know, where you ascend the steep faces of the mountains, there must be 20 or more of those on the island at least. And the precipice is the most well-known. Of course, that's closed right now because the peregrine falcons are nesting. But those ladder trails are incredible. You know, they've got iron rungs and ladders and handrails and railings. It's amazing. And those have been here for over 100 years. And never mind the stonework, the stone steps. A lot of that work was done turn of the century, you know, 1800s into the 1900s. It's just incredible. You know, we had the village improvement societies, if you will, and they did all that early trail work before there was ever an AMC or anybody else like that to build trails. And those trails, for the most part, have endured to this day. And it's incredible. So when you're hiking here, you not only have beautiful scenery, but you're working on what I feel are just works of art. And I feel like a broken record sometimes, but we're so lucky to have Acadia. And the work of the philanthropists, the land trusts, the conservation organizations goes up and down the coast and inland. What we have preserved in this state of Maine is mind-boggling. It's a real gift.
And so your book, The Best Day Hikes on the Maine Coast, am I just too centered on MDI to suggest that a lot of those best day hikes have to be right there on the island?
Well, yes and no. I made a point. I wrote that book from scratch 5 years ago, and I'm actually working on the next edition, which will include 10 new different hikes. I made a point, it was part of the deal I made with the publisher was to really spread out those hikes geographically from, you know, southern York County all the way up to Quoddy Head at Lubeck. I wanted to introduce hikers, outdoor enthusiasts to as many different areas with a good hike from one end of the coast to the other. And so to your point, only four of the hikes in the book are on Mount Desert Island in Acadia National Park. I'm adding a fifth one, that Landed Garden Preserve, on this next edition.
But that's all we have for the time today, and I thank you very much for being on the program, Carrie.
A real pleasure, David. Happy to talk outdoors and Maine hiking anytime.
A favorite story of mine was written by one of our writers for Maine Seniors Magazine. His name is Hunter Howe, and the name of the story is A Place Called Camp. You won't see this place featured on the Travel Channel. There are no major airports nearby, no tourist attractions, no fancy hotels, no crowded restaurants, no taxis, no t-shirt shops, and no nightlife. It's a place found all over Maine, in the woods, in the mountains, on lakes, and along the coast. It's an uncomplicated place where folks go to seek freedom, to feel alive, and to enjoy the modest pleasures of life. It's a place where folks embrace tradition, a sense of sameness and a lack of pretension, a sanctuary away from the strangling stress of today's world. It's a place Maine folks call camp. For Maine folks, there are no better words than I'm headed to camp. The wharfs in canoes, kayaks, rowboats rest on their sides against trees. Holes in the screens repaired, cobwebs cleared, and the camp cleaned. There's a fresh, invigorating nip in the air and the bean flannel shirt still necessary to ward off the chill in the evenings. The peepers have called in the spring. Loons glide by. A stern sentinel, like northern hawk owl, perches on a branch above. The fragrant scent of lilac soothe, and the evening cricket, chirping chorus, sings, and the smoke swirling from the chimney satisfies. There's a comforting pace to each day. One rises early, brews the coffee, ambles down the path with their dog walking along to the wharf and the sunrise. The mug of hot coffee warms the hands. Across the lake, a meadow reaches upward to a pine forest. A lone fisherman huddled over and enveloped in the mist motors by. He nods, no words needed. It feels good. It reminds one of the lyrics, "Easy like a Sunday morning." A crumbling stone wall forms a loose boundary on one side of the property. A brook running fast forms the other. The rope swing and hammock sway slowly in the morning breeze. The porch provides entry to the lakeside view of the camp. A wood box with a dull axe ready for sharpening sits strategically outside the door. White flakes from worn wicker chairs sprinkle the sloping floor. A small four-screen sofa bed serves as a requisite nap nook, suitable for late afternoon snoozing with the dog. Fishing poles and waders occupy a corner. Wall pegs located by the kitchen door hold caps and coats. Although the porch is the cherished congregating area, it's the kitchen where the main gathering takes place. A frayed Betty Crocker cookbook shares space on the Formica countertop with a varied collection of tins for holding stuff, vintage yellowware mixing bowls, and cans of evaporated milk, an important camp staple. Camp food means comfort food. The chef prepares meals on a black 1910 home Clarion cook stove manufactured in Bangor, Maine. Breakfast is standard fare, often bacon and eggs fried in a cast iron pan, home fries and biscuits lathered in butter. The steady hum of the Frigidaire provides background music while reading the weekly gazette purchased at the general store. For lunch, there's usually a soup or a stew simmering on the stove. Suppers include franks and beans, spaghetti and meatballs, or chicken pot pie with a side of fiddleheads. The camp's outfitted with a mishmash of furniture and knickknacks found in antique barns and yard sales over the years. Numerous framed black and white photographs of four-masted schooners and fishermen standing in streams with distant mountains on the horizon decorate the walls. Only one bathroom off the kitchen services the camp, but not much time is spent there sprucing up. A wood-burning Franklin stove anchors the combined living room and parlor. Wooden skis, straps unbuckled and torn across on a wall. A Waterbury 8-day mantel clock requires winding. An oak bookcase contains a library of yesteryear. One shelf holds Look, Life, and Saturday Evening Post magazines and books, many books, including Horatio Alger series, The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. Another shelf holds Scrabble and Monopoly games, along with a cribbage board and a deck of bicycle playing cards. Cots used for guests stand folded against a wall. Camp's not a fashion show, so closets are tiny. Steep stairs lead to the second floor and three more bedrooms, a refuge for hitting the sack. After supper, light conversation, playful dickering and laughter commence. As dusk turns to dark, conversation ebbs and camp folks settle back in the soft cushions of their favorite chair with a Stephen King novel. The dog slumbers on the threadbare braided rug. It's a Norman Rockwell scene. Camp roots run deep, families passing them on from one generation to the next. There's something spot on about all this. Simply put, it's a good way of living. A tradition like none other. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all find a place called camp in the land of Maine? Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.